Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it is now the 8:30 hour on Wednesday night. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Ian Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and it's a privilege that God has afforded me this opportunity to be able to go before his people for the Holy Ghost to use me as his vessel through me for his people Wednesday after Wednesday. And I don't take it lightly, and I appreciate it, because one of the worst things in the world is the sin of ingratitude. I thank you, God. I also thank each and every one of you that take time out of your busy schedule to come together so we could fellowship together in the Word of God, to found on the Word of God with one another. People love to have a party, and I would like to look at it every Wednesday night. We're having a party with the Holy Ghost. They say ain't no party like the Holy Ghost party, because the Holy Ghost party don't stop. And I thank you, God, and I thank God. Well, tonight, the title of our lesson is, and I'm coming out of the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. I pray that you have your Bibles. I pray that each and every one of you had time to read the 32nd chapter of Exodus in your spare time. So I'm coming from the book of Exodus 32, verses 1 through 11. Hallelujah. And I want you to know tonight that the word, the title of this Bible study for tonight is God Delivered the Children of Israel Out of Egypt. Now he has to remove Egypt. God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And now he has to remove Egypt out of his people. So I guess most of you know what I'm saying, but if you don't, you know what I'm saying is they had been in Egypt in bondage and slavery for so long. And sometime when things like that happen, you begin to pick up the habits of the other people from being around them. And they was enslaved by the Egyptians. And they constantly cried out to God to deliver them from under the bondage of Egypt. And God decided to do it. Our lesson tonight is going to show, after God did it, how did they start acting? So when I say God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, now he has to remove Egypt out of his children. So I'm going to do a little background, a little introduction. But before I do that, we have to go, and I'm going to play a song.
Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low, and you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you want to take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps, so you can walk into your seats. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you performing. Our God is faith. A harvest for your seed, and in due time, God will blow your mind with what he planted inside of you to bless the world and yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me.
God is doing a great work.
So what should be considered
work,
as we proceed is that this work did not begin with you. Our mother's mother and father's father planted seeds when we were but the faint notion of a dream in their mind. They hoped for a harvest, a legacy, a great work. So may your next step forward help us to connect the dots and see this picture.
We can keep that in mind because God is truly doing a great work in each and every one of us. We just got to hold on, my brothers and sisters, because God is not through with us yet. And at this time, it's time to go to the throne of grace, to go to God's throne where mercy and grace can be found. God is affording the privilege and the opportunity for us to pray to him. And at this time, I'm affording the opportunity to anyone on the line who would like to pray. You could press the one button on your phone. Caller, your number is 43048. Your mic is open.
Our Father, who art in heaven, Heavenly Father, we come this far by faith. And on this day, dear Lord, we thank you for another Wednesday night, another Wednesday night when we can hear a word from you. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise. We acknowledge, Lord, that you are the one and the only God. We thank you for this privilege to be found, dear God, on a Wednesday night, listening again to your word. We come asking, Heavenly Father, that you search our hearts. If there be anything contrary to your will, anything that would separate us from you, anything that would keep our prayers from reaching your throne. Please, Lord, remove it. Remove it, Lord, right now. Thank you, dear God, again. Open our hearts, our minds, that we will receive what you have for us to learn tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, and thank God.
Thank you so much, my sister. God bless you for being in service on tonight, for taking his invitation that he had afforded for someone to pray. I thank you so much, and God honors what you did. Thank you so much, my sister.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Hallelujah. And I'm going to say the title of our lesson again because other callers have called in. And I just want you guys to know that anytime we have to pray, when God opens up and give an opportunity for someone to pray, because maybe he want to hear from that person or you at that time. And sometimes it's not like I will never not ever pray, but sometimes I will prefer someone else pray. And that's why I ask that. So I was just sharing that with you guys. The title of our lesson is God Delivered the Children of Israel Out of Egypt, and now he has to remove Egypt out of his children. We're in the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter. We're going to expound on 1 through the 12th verse. And if you had time and you read the entire, the entire chapter, you will see what we're talking about tonight. So at this time, I'm going to give a little intro, a little background, and then we're going to expound on the word. You see, for many years, the children of Israel lived in Egypt. They were prospering and multiplying greatly. However, a new Pharaoh rose up. This leader did not know Joseph. The reason that is said, because you remember, Joseph went to Egypt and so much favor was found on him. And nobody had food, and his family came. And then Joseph was there, and they began to live in Egypt. And they had, like, free reign in a sense, because Joseph, their son, well, he was his father's son and his brother, Joseph was the man. But years passed, and new kings came, and this particular Pharaoh didn't know Joseph. So he didn't have no relationship, and he didn't want to, you know, worry about pleasing Joseph. So you see a vicious tyrant who feared the Israelites' growing number. He turned them into slaves in order that all their firstborn males drown in the Nile River. But you see, God always have a ram in a bush. You see, one brave mother protected her infant son, hiding him in a basket among the reeds. You see, Pharaoh's daughter discovered the baby, named him Moses, and raised him among the Egyptian royalty for 40 years. You see, when Moses was 40 years old, he got in trouble defending an Israelite slave. See, in that time, Moses knew he was accepted. He was Pharaoh's daughter. He was a prince. He was next to the king and all of this. But he knew something about a something in him. And because the story, you could check it out, his mother had him until he was weaned off. Because you see, when Pharaoh's daughter found him, they didn't have bottles and milk and formula back then. Pharaoh's sister had put him in the Nile River in a basket, and she was walking the bank seeing where he was going to lay. And when the king's daughter picked him up, the daughter interceded. She probably told her, ma'am, you know, you're going to need somebody to nurse this child. The king's daughter ain't have no milk in her breast. She hadn't had a child. Moses' sister was able to go home and get her mama, brought her mama back, hallelujah, to nurse Moses. His mother was able to nurse him, and as he grew, she began to teach him. So Moses knew he was an Israelite. You understand? So when Moses was 40 years old, he got in trouble defending an Israelite slave, because by then the Egyptian had begun to beat him. They had begun to make him work harder. They had begun to misuse him. They had begun to abuse him. They were the Egyptian slaves. So Moses, really, he killed the Egyptian. You know, many times you hear in the Bible, they'll say Moses was a murderer. Well, here's the scene of how it happened. This is why it happened. Did the man die? Yes. So Moses was frightened, and Moses ran away. At that time, Moses was 40. So when Moses was 40 years old, he got into the trouble with that. Now we at Moses. He stayed there in the palace for the 40 years, and he left. Moses went to a far off land because he was running, and he was doing work, coming all the way from the palace to going to the field to be a shepherd. You see, now this is my opinion. God sometimes, you know, Moses was in a palace, and I'm sure he had a lot of pride. He might have had the big head. Come on, y'all. So God knew he wanted to use Moses. So when Moses left the palace, where he landed up, and the work that he did, he was a shepherd. And a shepherd was one of the worst jobs you could have back then. You know, that's like it's just low on the podium tool. But that's what Moses did for the next 40 years. Come on, y'all. But God got him humble. God taught him how to take care of somebody else and have people taking care of you. See, God, when he turns you and direct you and getting ready to use you, some of the training on the way have to be in places you never thought. It'll have you doing things you never thought you would be doing. But God is preparing you for the intended purpose that he designed for you, that he created you to be. So Moses left. He went in a field and tended the goats. Now, Moses 80 years old, and God's ready to use him. While Moses was in the field, he saw a bush burning. And he was so amazed because the bush had consuming fire in it. But nothing was really just burning away. The fire was in the midst of the bush. The bush still was holding on, and the fire was still burning. And Moses went to take a closer look. You see, God came and God spoke to him. He said, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt. Now, can you imagine Moses saying, man, if I go back there, you know, they might still be looking for him. God told him that's the people who wanted you for the death. He said, all Egypt is some past. That's past too. He said, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt. And I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Y'all know how the story went. Moses went and told Pharaoh. He refused. So God did 10 plagues in Egypt against the Egyptians. And I want y'all to know, when the water was turned to blood, all of the water in Egypt and for the Egyptians were blood. But not the Israelites' water with blood. How you like that? See, God take care of his people. God take care of his people. When God let the frogs be all over Egypt, all in their hair and their food and their kitchen, all in their everywhere, The frogs wasn't hopping on the Israelites, God's children. What a mighty God we serve, y'all. And then God did one last plague. He said he was going to kill every firstborn in Egypt. Not just firstborn people, but firstborn cattle, firstborn sheep, firstborn everything. He said, you know, that's what I'm going to do. Because every time he did nine, and Pharaoh refused. And this is the 10th plague. But he told the Israelites, he said, Moses, go back to the people and tell the people to kill a sacrificial lamb, representative of Jesus, our sacrificial lamb. He said, take the blood of the lamb and put it on top of the doorpost and come down the sides of the frame of the door. He said, that's going to represent that they're mine. He said, because I'm going to send a dead angel in there. And the dead angel is going to go in every house where the blood is not on the door. It's going to kill everything in the house. Everything they have in the field, that's the firstborn. Everything. And that's how we have for those people who see around Easter time and you see the Passover and may not know what it is about. The Passover was something that God commanded the Israelites to celebrate every year. They celebrate the time when God passed over their houses and saved their firstborn and killed the firstborns of the Egyptians. And that's why it's called the Passover. Many times it's celebrated by the Jews, and they still celebrate it to this day. I think the Catholics do something with it as well. But that's the Passover. The king finally said, okay, I got to let y'all go. Moses and his people get ready. God told them, go ask the Egyptians for anything they wanted, because now they were fearing God, and whatever you ask them for, they'll give it to you. And the Egyptians went and start telling the Israelites went and start telling the Egyptians, give me some gold, give me some silver, give me some earrings, give me some stuff of value. So they went out heavy-handed. Come on, y'all. Thought to bring you out better than you went in. They went out heavy-handed. And I needed to tell you that, and you're going to know why in a little while. So now the people are gone. Pharaoh finally agreed to let them go, but they weren't gone that far. And Pharaoh had a change of heart. His heart was hardened. And they was gone. And Pharaoh said, get everybody together. We're going to get them. You see, Pharaoh was about to lose his labor. Come on, y'all. And he didn't want that. You know, that's why black people were made slaves. They didn't want to give up the labor. The labor was free. So Pharaoh went after them, and they was pressed between the wilderness and the Red Sea. And when Moses got close to the Red Sea, the people, the Israelites that God had delivered and saved their firstborn and didn't let the blood get in their water and talk for them. I'm talking about that God, y'all. They got to the Red Sea and they didn't see no way out. Don't y'all know God will make a way out of no way? So they start complaining. They told Moses, why would your God bring us here for us to be killed in the wilderness? Why he just didn't leave us in Egypt? He said, there's no caskets in Egypt? So King Pharaoh came up against them, and we know the story. Moses lifted up his rod, and the sea parted. The Israelites walked over and on dry land, and when the Israelites came in after them, God closed the sea, and they all drowned. You know, the Israelites in their journey, even no matter how much God did, It just seemed like it wasn't enough. They always found a reason to complain. That's how people are today. You say you're a Christian and you complain about everything and everybody. God took care of them even in the wilderness. So they complained, and God did that. So the story tonight in the 32nd chapter, they done got out the Red Sea, and they're in the wilderness. And this is what happened. I'm going to read verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together with Aaron and said unto him, now Aaron is Moses' brother. Moses, when God came to him, Moses complained, I don't speak good enough. I stutter. I'm not elegant. I don't know big words. He tried to find every excuse not to do what God was calling him to do. So God told him, all right, take your brother. God is so cool, y'all. God is so complete. So when I said Aaron, I was letting you know what it was. Let me start over. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together with unto Aaron. That's Moses' brother, and God had made him the priest. And they said unto him, make gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man has brought us out of the land of Egypt, and we wrought not what become of him. You see, God back then dwelt among his people. But God used certain people and prophets and priests and things that he talked to. Moses was the leader. The people would complain to Moses or ask Moses for things. Moses would go to God. And God would deliver and tell Moses what to tell the people. Well, many times Moses went to go before God. And God was seen at that time in the mount, on Mount Sinai. And this particular time, it's not the first time, Moses went up to be with God. And Moses took longer than he normally takes. I'm not exactly sure, but I think the time he stayed up there was 40 days. And 40 nights. The people got antsy. They thought Moses wasn't coming back. So you see what they said? They told Aaron, who the priest, make us a god. How you like that? They are now wandering in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And that's another heavy hitter. The promised land was the land promised to the Israelites by God, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, when we have this hour, we can't do it all. I'm supposed to perk your interest, and you're supposed to go get some information. You see, while they was in the wilderness, God provided everything they needed for their survival. God gave him bread from heaven. You know that's called manna. Water from a rock. Meat from the sky. Protection from their enemies. Their shoes and their clothes never wore out. And he provided their needs daily. So now Moses gone up to the mountain to be with God to receive instructions for the people, as he had done so many times before. And just because they thought he was taking too long, they asked Aaron, their priest, to make them idol gods for them to follow because they didn't know what was up with Moses. People are sure enough turning back on you, huh? Nothing's new under the sun. So if you think somebody turning their back on you, well, you sort of did it to Moses. And I could go a little bit further. They did it to Jesus. Come on, y'all. So you know, you're not exempt. You have to take what is dealt to you and keep it moving. In verse 2, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them to me. See, they want him to make them an idol god. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received them in their hands and fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. So I know plenty of y'all saw the Ten Commandments when the children of Israel was in the wilderness and Moses took long and they made a golden calf, y'all. This is the scripture about it right here. And they said, these going to be our gods, O Israel, which brought us out of the land of Egypt. How soon do they turn? And when Aaron saw it, he all in the game now. He built an altar because of it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And he rose up early on the morrow and offered a burnt offering and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down and they ate and drank and rose up to party. Now, you know, they was partying hardy. A lot of sexual perversion, orgy, same-sex sexual acts. They was getting down. You see what happened? Their acts and Aaron agreed. He gave into his peer pressure. Y'all better watch peer pressure. He began giving instructions on how to do it and how to make it happen. Told him, get the earrings and all of this. Now watch this. Even though Israel had seen the invisible God in action, they still wanted a familiar God that they could see, as they had seen in Egypt. You see, that's why I say it in my title tonight, God delivered the children out of Egypt, but now you got to get the Egypt out of the children. They're still holding on to what they know, what they saw. You see, but God was wanting them to move and follow him in faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. They want to hold on to what they saw. They want a golden calf. They want something they can see. I keep getting a call on the line from a lady on the line. You guys can hear me? Somebody press a one. All right, praise God. I don't know what the call is. I'll just have to call them back. So they had seen all of the evidence how God had taken care of them and provided for them. But they want to see. And see, God was an invisible God. Now they want a God with a face. So Aaron, but this is the kicker, y'all. Everything that they used to make that golden calf, God made arrangements for them to have it. You remember when I told you when they was ready to leave out of Egypt, God told them to ask the Egyptians for gold and silver and brass and earrings and diamonds and all of this, and they did. I told you that God let them leave top heavy. Now they're here, and they won't decide to make a golden calf. The priest going to tell them, give me that gold and them earrings and stuff. And they melted down, and they beat it, and they made a golden calf. They're turning back on Moses. They're turning back on God. You see, God had provided all the necessary evidence for them to know that he was the only true and living God. After being delivered out of Egypt, God has got to work so hard, and Moses as well. and Aaron when he get his sins back to remove Egypt out of the people. You see, the golden calf represented the God that had just delivered them from their oppression. They now want a God with a faith. And now ignore the commandment of God that was just given to them. Exodus 20 and 4, I'm in 32, so in 20 he gave it, the 20th chapter. Thou shalt not make unto thee any grave images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that in the water under the earth. He said, don't use none of them images. But here we see Aaron saying, let us build an altar before it. And he did. And in verse 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou brought it out of the land of Egypt, has corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, and had sacrifices thereunto, and said, these be thy God, O Israel, which has brought us out of the land of Egypt. Now Moses and God, I'm sure, is having taking care of business, having a board meeting, or whatever. Moses take longer than they would have liked. We see what they did with what God had given them. They made a golden calf. They worship it. They made sacrifices to the golden calf. Now God, this is a prime example. You know, they're way up in a mountain. But God knows everything. You know, it don't say that Moses heard stuff going on and said, let me go see what this is. We see here the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down. He said, man, you better go ahead because your people is corrupting themselves. They turn aside out of the way I commanded them. They worshiping other gods. And they giving honor and glory to the idol God. But you see, God knew everything. Even though he and Moses was on the top of the mountain, he knew the people was doing something that they weren't supposed to be doing. So some people might say, well, Sister Diane, why he just didn't stop them? He allowed them to exercise their will. See, that's what God do with us. So Moses goes down there, and thy people all corrupted. They have forgotten all that I did for them and all that I commanded them to do. How soon we turn our backs on God, y'all. Verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. This is God talking to Moses. He said, now therefore, let me alone. He said, Moses, leave me alone, that my wrath may wax cold against them, and that I might consume them. He said, and by the way, Moses, he said, yeah, I want a nation. I will make thee a nation. How you like that, y'all? God is easy, but the wrath of God is hard. You see, God told Moses that they were stiff-necked, disobedient, and they had little faith. He told Moses, go down there because my wrath is waxed cold against them. He's saying, in other words, he said, look, they have done everything they wanted to do, and now it's my time. God said they did what they wanted to do, and now it's my time. He said, I'm ready to consume them. He said, and besides that, if I wipe all of them out, I'll start over with you, and I'll make you a great nation. So look what happened. 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doest thou wrath wax cold against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power? God, you took time and you did all of this, and with a mighty hand. Verse 12, look what he said. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak? He said, if you wipe them all out, this is what the Egyptians going to say. For mischief did he bring them out and slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. This Moses saying, God, you brought them out. You said they're your children. You know, and if you wipe them all out right now, what the people, what the other nations going to say? You know, there was many nations at that time. Matter of fact, when they started to go in the wilderness, they would have had a short way that would have took, I think, 11 days, and you know it wind up being 40 years. But the nation of the Philistines was living there. And God knew if he let the Israelites go through the land of Philistine, they would, you know, there was going to be a war. And he didn't think they was war ready. They just had been delivered from being slaves. And, you know, slaves sometimes mentality be slave-like. So God said, I can't let them go this way, so I'm going to have to bring them around the wilderness through the Red Sea. He was protecting them then. And he had other plans for leaving them and working with them in the wilderness for 40 years, because I'm going to tell it to you again. God delivered children of Israel out of Egypt, and he's working with them to remove Egypt out of them. See, God promised the promised land, and if he would have let them went through the land of the Philistine and he would have let them won the battle, they would have been in the promised land in 8 days, but they still had all of that junk in their trunk. Sometimes God can't give us what he wants for us until he teaches how to hold it, how to keep it, to understand it. So Moses plead with God, don't do it, God. He said, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in a mountain. Moses saying, that's what you want the people to say. You could have left them in Egypt to take them out in and slay them and to consume them from the face of the earth, inoculate them. Look what Moses said. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Now, don't get all hung up with the word repent. He's telling God to repent. Now watch this. Moses now plead for the people for mercy, and God spared them. Some of you may say, how could God repent if he never and cannot sin? See, the word here, a better word you could use, and it's the word that's used in you know, like they got the NIV Bible and the English Bible translation. In all of those Bibles, the word here, say relent, it can be used here, which means abandon or mitigate a harsh intention or cruel treatment. He's asking God to relent of this evil against the people, you know. You see, we see in this Moses was a type of Jesus Christ, is constantly pleading for God. Jesus is our intercessor, and when we don't do what we're supposed to do, Jesus intercede on our behalf. Moses is now interceding to God on behalf of the people. We, like these people, do not deserve the pardon of God. That's why God gives us mercy. Mercy give us. Mercy hold back the punishment we do deserve. So what Moses was asking from God was mercy, y'all. Jesus is our advocate with the Father. He's speaking on our behalf even now in heaven. Moses told God that his anger was about to cause him to waste all the efforts he had spent to save his people. Moses even reminded God that the Egyptian was still as if their false God had truly won. God said, I will destroy them and make you a nation. Now watch this. Moses didn't take the deal, but he began to pray for their forgiveness. And this is me right now, y'all. The Bible doesn't say it, but this may have God may have wanted to see what Moses was working with. Because you see somebody who get an offer to become a nation from God might have jumped at the deal. Moses didn't take the deal, and he began to pray to God for their forgiveness. So I say it may have only been a test, and I'm so glad that Moses passed the test. You see, this repentance here was not like like us seeking repentance for the evil we have done. God was justified in his wrath to these people. And then we get to the next one. I just want you to know God knew ahead of time that he would forgive them and give them another chance. He showed that by he could be angered and he could destroy anyone he desired. He still listened to the prayers of his. God was showing that, yeah, I could get angry. I got the right. And I could destroy everybody. But he's telling us that he still listened to the prayers of his people, especially to Moses, who had gone to all this trouble along with God to get these people out of Egypt and establish a nation who feared God. See, they're going to begin to fear God. They might not always do it. They start, they stop, they start, they stop, just like us. They be obedient, they be disobedient, you know, because there's nothing new under the sun. You see, this evil, again, of forgiveness. Just as every one of us deserved debt because of sin, but through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, we have been pardoned and given eternal life with Jesus. That's our lesson today, and I encourage you to read the whole chapter. I encourage you, my sisters and brothers. And at this time, if anyone would like to make a comment, ask a question, you can at this time. And call us, because you pressed the one button to give me a signal that you could hear me. I can't see if you're trying to say something at this time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to press the mic. I'm going to call part of your number. If you don't want to say anything, just don't say it. I'm going to cut your mic off. Your mic is open. Call us 504-240-4949. Your mic is open. Caller, your number is 504-377-20. Your mic is open. Caller, your number 504-90812. Your mic is open. Caller, your number is 504-715-46. Your mic is open. Caller, your number is 504-91226. Your mic is open. So that's our lesson for tonight. See, God has delivered us from many things. I could give you a quick example that you might could see it a little bit better. You know, when crack cocaine was out, you know, people who were addicted to crack cocaine, they all had some of the same traits, how they do things and operate. And some of them got delivered from the crack cocaine, but some of them still had the same characteristics. They weren't doing the drugs, praise God, but they still acted like when they was doing the drugs. See, that's like God delivered you from the addiction, and you still operate as if you're in the addiction. Tonight I said God delivered the children out of Egypt, but now he has to deliver the Egypt out of the children. And when you read everything that happened in the wilderness, you could identify with God trying to train and teach the children of Israel to be ready for the blessing that he has in store for them. See, sometimes God has blessings for us, but because we out of pocket, we, you know, he say go east, we say go west, we can't receive the blessings that he has. And see, they are being delayed in the wilderness, 11-day journey, and they're going to be in it for 40 years. But they're disobedient. That's the consequences of their disobedience. They're going to wind up for 40 years. But God is using that time to get them ready to receive the promised land that he had promised to their forefathers. Just like God let Moses stay in a field with the sheep for 40 years. He had to prepare Moses to be the leader that he wanted him to be. He had to train Moses to know how to treat people, show Moses how to take care of people. And just for a little bit of information's sake, I want you to know that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and Moses began his journey with the children of Egypt, it was over 2 million people. That was a lot of people. You know, when you read the word of God, you should try to understand what God is trying to. Why did he let this be placed in the Bible? You know, what is it in it for me? You know, and one of the last tidbits that I said on the end, the things that God allowed them to know, he wants you to know he can get angry. And he can destroy anything and everything and everybody. And he still listens to the prayers of his people. That's some of the points that God showed us in his lesson. And if there's nothing else at this time, we'll go ahead and close for tonight. And we could have a benediction as we prepare to leave. I'm going to switch up a little bit from, I'm going to use the benediction from the book of Revelation. Matter of fact, this is the last chapter and the last verse in the Holy Bible. And it's a benediction. So you know I always like to say growing grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So tonight I'm going to tell you Revelation, the 22nd chapter, which that's the last book in the Bible. The 22nd chapter is the last chapter the 22nd chapter is the last book in the Bible, and verse 21 is the last verse in the Bible. And the scripture says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And that's our lesson of night. Y'all go in peace until we meet again. God loves you and so do I.